Let's open our New Testaments to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. Matthew, chapter 2. I really like that hymn that we just sang. Didn't let David know that. It just happens to be one that he chose. But I really like that hymn. And really, it would be time well spent if we would spend the rest of our worship hour talking about the way that God loves and the difference that that makes in our lives. I know that would be a good study for us. But I have decided I want to tackle a question. Should Christians celebrate Christmas? For most of us, we've studied this subject before. We understand our convictions regarding this and why we have the practice that we do here at Knollwood, but we've got some youngsters who have grown up who perhaps haven't studied this yet. We've got new members. We've got visitors. And it's good for us to open up the Word of God and to tackle this question, to discuss this subject from a biblical point of view and perhaps provide an answer for some who may be wondering why we don't do this. We are in the midst of a festive holiday season that is observed by many people, not just around us, but throughout the entire world. Christmas is a national holiday. It is a family holiday. But for many people in the religious world, it is observed and it is celebrated as the birth of our Savior. And so it might seem strange that we would even ask a question like this, or that we here at Knollwood don't participate in Christmas as a celebration of the birth of Christ. Why wouldn't a Christian, why wouldn't a church observe and celebrate the birth of Christ on December the 25th? I mean, after all, we believe in Jesus. We believe in His virgin birth, that He was born in a manger in Bethlehem, that angels appeared to and sent shepherds to find Him in swaddling clothes, that wise men visited the family and brought gifts. But we don't celebrate this event, and we don't incorporate it into our worship services, and we don't observe December 25th as a holy day. Why not? Why not? Let's tackle that question this morning. The first thing I would like to do, and perhaps this would help some understand why it is that we take the position that we do, I'd like to take a look at your traditional Christmas story, and let's run it through a fact checker, that is, our Bible. What about the traditional Christmas story? Most of us are familiar with the story as it is believed, as it's told, as it's displayed in nativity scenes found in lots of different places. What does the Bible have to say about that, or maybe not say about that? Let's start with the date of December 25th. Many people believe that this is Jesus' birthday. I think if you were to stop the average person walking down the street and ask them what day was Jesus born on, you'd likely get either "we don't know" or "December 25th. I think those would be your top two responses to that question. Well, we can read of Jesus' birth in the Bible. It's in Matthew chapter 1, verse 25 that He was born. And we have a more detailed account of it in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. But we are nowhere told the day that Jesus was born. To narrow it down to just one day and say it's December the 25th, well, you've got a 1 in 365 chance of being right. And I don't like those odds. Those aren't good odds. Another thing that's interesting is that in the Bible, we are given specific dates for things. Regarding the feast days that the Jews were supposed to keep, specific dates were given. So it's not that the Bible never gives us specific dates for things, but it's interesting we don't have a specific date for the birth of our Lord. Now, one thing we can conclude from the account in Luke, Luke chapter 2 and at verse 8 tells us that there were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. That's what was happening when Jesus was born. They wouldn't have been doing this in a winter month like December. In Palestine in the first century, it was the practice of the shepherds to bring the folds in late October or early November. So the shepherds would not have been living out in the fields in the month of December. So with that, you could do away with December 25th and any date in December. But the fact is, we're not told what the date is. And I believe there's a reason for that. It's not something that we are supposed to know. If we're not supposed to know it, then why would we conclude that we're supposed to keep it and to celebrate it? How about the visit of the Magi or the wise men? Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 gives us an account of the wise men from the east who followed the star to worship he who had been born, the King of the Jews. What about the number 3? We aren't told that there were 3 wise men. We're simply told that they were wise men, which tells us there was more than one, but it doesn't tell us that there were 3. Perhaps the number 3 is arrived at because of the number of gifts that they brought. In chapter 2, Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, "And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." So we've got 3 gifts. Somehow from that, we conclude that there are 3 wise men. Well, we're not told how many there are. I would suggest this. Just a thought. You've got wise men who are traveling from as far away as Babylon, and they're carrying wealth with them. I imagine they would have an entourage with them. It wouldn't just be the wise men themselves. They would have attendants. They would likely have guards as well. This would have been quite an entourage that was traveling, not just 3 men. And then your typical nativity scene has these 3 wise men showing up at the manger on the night that Jesus was born. And we know that that isn't true. In Matthew at chapter 2 and at verse 1, it says that the wise men showed up after Jesus was born. Not on the night that he was born, but after he was born. And as we read in verse 11, they didn't find Jesus in the manger in swaddling clothes. That's where the shepherds found him, but the wise men found him in a house. They came to a house. So I say that just to make this point. Right away, we've got some problems with the typical Christmas story. Now, again, we're taking the stance that we're not observing this as a holy day, and we're not observing it as the birth of Christ, and we're not worshiping or celebrating that. Why? Well, we can start right here. The typical Christmas story is not biblical, and we need to understand that. But let's move on from that. Let's move on. Why don't we celebrate Christmas as the birth of Christ as a local church? Well, because we don't read of Christians celebrating Christmas in the Bible. You can't find it. Now, we do read of people rejoicing at the birth of Jesus. The wise men worshiped Jesus. We read there in Matthew 2, verse 11, they came into the house, they fell down before him, and they worshiped him. Yes, they did. The angels that appeared to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, they praised God because of the birth of the Savior. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" So they are worshiping God and praising God at the birth of Jesus. The shepherds, after they go and they find everything the way the angel said they would, they return to their flocks. Then the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. We don't deny the fact that there was worship at the occasion of Jesus being born. There's no doubt of that. But these were not Christians who were worshiping. No one was a Christian yet. Not until after Jesus died and rose from the dead and the gospel spread. And in Acts chapter 11, the followers of Christ are first called Christians there. These aren't Christians that we just read about. And we don't read of any church anywhere in the New Testament observing December 25th as a holy day or celebrating Christmas. We just don't find it. Now, the church commemorated the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. They did this every first day of the week. We read of that in Acts chapter 20 and at Acts chapter 20, verse 7. There's my first mistake of the day. Acts chapter 20 and at verse 7 and 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26, the church commemorated the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, but we never read anywhere of the church commemorating his birth. So, where did Christmas come from? If it didn't come from the Bible, and you don't find the word Christmas anywhere in the Bible, where did it come from? Where did it come from? The word Christmas doesn't mean the birth of Jesus. The word Christmas is actually the word Christ Mass. Christ Mass. Now, what does that tell us about its origin? It originated with the Catholic Church. The church did not observe Christmas and did not worship the birth of Christ or did not celebrate the birth of Christ until about the 3rd or 4th century. 300 or 400 years after the church is established, well after the New Testament is written, then the church begins to practice it. Now, you can look this fact up and find it in an encyclopedia. And I don't mean a Bible encyclopedia or a Catholic encyclopedia. You go find an encyclopedia at the library, and you can find this fact. In 354 AD, the bishop of Rome named Liberius, who Catholics believe is one of the early popes, in this year, he ordered that December 25th be adopted and celebrated as the birth of Christ. So where does it come from? It's not until 300 plus years after Christ is here on earth, well after the work that's done by the apostles, that a bishop in Rome orders this date to be observed, adopted, and celebrated as the birth of Christ. Why December 25th? We've already pointed out, we're not told the date. You got a 1 in 365 chance of being right. And it's very unlikely that it happened in December at all. So where did December 25th come from? Interesting question and an interesting story as well. This date, December 25th, was already observed as the birth date of the Roman sun god Mithra. Again, this is a pagan god, a pagan deity that is followed by Romans. Where was this bishop who ordered that this date be adopted by the church? He's the bishop of Rome. Romans are already observing this day as the birth date of their sun god. This was the most important celebration of the cult that surrounded this Roman god. And it was known of as the birthday of the unconquered sun. The Roman Empire celebrated the rebirth of the unconquered sun on December 25th. Why December 25th? December 25th is very close to the winter solstice, which we had just yesterday or the day before. It's when the days start getting longer again, right? And so the ancients would see that the sun, it disappeared down to the horizon, and then on this date of the winter solstice, it would reemerge in the sky, and it would come back. And so that day was celebrated as the rebirth of the sun. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to connect those dots. We already have a festive celebration going on, and this day of the unconquered sun, rebirth of the unconquered sun, was a festival that consisted of feasting and exchanging gifts, a very popular feast day among the pagans of that culture. Well, instead of having them celebrate the rebirth of the sun, S-U-N, let's offer them the celebration of the birth of the sun, S-O-N. That's where it came from. That's where it originated, of a pagan origin. If that makes you uncomfortable, well, then you don't want to hear me talk about Easter. Because it's got a pagan origin as well. Oh, I know the resurrection of Christ, and we do get the timing a lot better there at the time of Passover, but the eggs and the bunnies, that's paganism. Fertility cults, most definitely. And Halloween, we don't even need to go there, right? But you know, there are pagan roots to a lot of things that we have. The days of the week, each one of them is ascribed to a pagan deity. Makes an interesting study as you look at those things. But where did Christmas originate? It was a pagan festival that was brought into the Catholic Church in 354 AD. It was ordered that that day be adopted and celebrated as the birth of Christ. So, should Christians celebrate such religious days? No. No. Why not? Well, because we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. Jesus, when speaking with the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4, verse 23, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him." Notice, God is looking for certain kinds of worshipers. And it's not just those who do whatever they want to do, it's those who will worship by spirit and by truth. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. God will only accept worship that is in spirit and in truth. Now, what does that mean? Worship in spirit is worship that comes from our spirit. Worship that we are engaging in with our hearts, with our minds. It's not spirited worship, and so let's jump around and get excited. It's worship in spirit that has our heart involved in it. We don't do it by routine. That's why we like to say, when we get started, let's get the thoughts out of our hearts so we can give our hearts entirely to God in our worship. But it's the second element that I want to focus on here. Worship in truth. What is worship in truth? Worship in truth is not true or sincere worship. That's important. And I've heard that rendering or that interpretation here. A worship in truth is true to you worship or sincere worship. No. Later in the Gospel of John, at chapter 17 and verse 17, when Jesus is praying to the Father, He says, "Sanctify them by Thy truth. Thy word is truth." Jesus later says in the next chapter that He came to bear witness to the truth. What is truth? Truth is God's Word. And so the worship that God is looking for, and the worship that pleases God, and the worship that God will accept, is worship that is according to His Word. I can't find Christmas anywhere in His Word. Oh, I can find the birth of Christ, but I can't find the celebration of Christmas anywhere in His Word. That is not going to be worship in truth. Here's something else. Matthew chapter 15, and we talked about this last week. We talked about vain worship. One thing that makes worship vain is when we follow the teachings and commandments of men. Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Where did the Christmas celebration come from? It was ordered by a man. It's from the commandments of men. That results in vain worship. So no, I don't observe Christmas as a religious holiday. Collectively here at Knollwood, we do not do so. Why? Because of these two scriptures here. Because we worship God in spirit and in truth. Because we do not worship by the commandments of men. God is not pleased, and God cannot be glorified when we worship Him the way we want to worship. We must worship the way God wants to worship. I want to pause right here and make a point. We as Christians are always ready to give an answer for what we believe and what we practice and why we do things and why we don't do things. But when it comes to a religious observance of Christmas, the burden of proof does not lie with our position. The burden of proof lies with those who want to do it and think it's okay. If you want to do it, can you show me the passage of Scripture that says it's okay with God that we do that? That we single one day out of the year, say that is our Lord's birthday, and observe it religiously towards God. The burden of proof belongs to those who want to do it, not to those who refrain from it. But I throw that in as a side point. We are always ready to give an answer, but really, those who want to do it are the ones that need to provide the answer. Well, this leads us to a very natural follow-up question. If we can't observe Christmas as a religious holiday or as a religious day, what about Christians celebrating Christmas as a non-religious holiday? People do this all the time. The world around us is a very secular world, full of people who are unbelievers. And yet we will see them involving themselves to some degree in holiday celebrations. They don't worship Mirtha, the sun god. And they don't worship Jesus, but they decorate their homes, they send cards, they get together with their family, and they exchange gifts. Is it okay for Christians to observe Christmas in this same way? Any Christian has the right to engage in any secular, commercial, or family holiday celebration that they choose, providing that it does not cause them to violate the law of Christ and it does not cause them to violate their conscience. So yes, Christians can partake of or can participate in the traditional Christmas celebrations, the family celebrations, if they choose to. I know brethren who don't. And I've had opportunity to sit down and to talk with brethren who won't have anything to do with Christmas whatsoever. And I've talked with them about some of their questions. One question is, well, what about leaving the impression? If you participate in Christmas in any way, you're leaving the impression that you're observing it as a religious day. And to that I say, no, you're not. And the reason is because I don't think that when I see other people celebrating Christmas. I drive down the street at night in December and I look and somebody's got their house decorated with lights. And out in the yard there's a snowman and there's candy canes and reindeer and there's Santa Claus there. And I don't automatically say, you know what, they're celebrating the birth of Christ right there. That doesn't even come to my mind. We know what they're doing. They're enjoying the festive spirit of this season. Now, if I can drive by someone's house and look and see that and not come to that conclusion, then I'm not going to suggest that that's what everybody is going to think about if they see me observing the Christmas holiday. So I hear that objection, but I don't agree with it. How about this one? It's based on paganism. It's based on a pagan holiday. It has pagan roots. Well, the association of Christmas with the Roman god Mirtha vanished a long time ago. I imagine most of us didn't even know about it until this morning. It's long gone. It's no longer associated with paganism. But as I said before, many of the things that we do today have pagan roots. And if you're going to take that approach, then you need to be consistent and you need to separate yourself from everything that has pagan roots. You need to be consistent if you're going to use that as a way of judging others. What about Christians who don't agree with this practice? Well, we have that right. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14. Let's look at a couple verses from this chapter. We won't take the time to read the whole chapter. But Romans chapter 14 addresses differences that brethren are allowed to have. They're allowed to have differences regarding these matters of opinion. Some Christians believe that it's wrong to observe Christmas in any manner whatsoever. As a matter of fact, I know of one brother in Christ, when we lived in Texas, he and his wife, they held some very strong views on things, and I appreciated them for that. But one view that he had was that the word Christmas comes from Christ Mass. And that is blasphemous. And in his view, it's sinful to say the word Christmas. That's his view. I respected his view. I didn't try to make him say the word. I respected his view, and he respected mine. And that's where we are with this particular subject. In Romans chapter 14, verses 4 and 5, who are you to judge another's servant? Well, if we're Christians, we're all someone else's servant. You're a servant of Christ. I'm a servant of Christ. Who am I to judge someone else's servant? Their master is going to judge them. That's the point being made here. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. You have the right to decide that you're not going to observe Christmas, and that is fine. I have the right to decide that my family and I are going to, and that's fine. And we have to respect one another's choices. And that's where it needs to lie. I would ask this question for those who don't want to have anything to do with Christmas at all. Do you accept your paid time off for December 25th? Or your holiday bonus that you get from work? You see, we watch and we see whether or not you're consistent with that. But that's another matter entirely. Let's wrap this up. The birth of Jesus is an important part of the gospel. And I hope you understand from what we looked at today, I'm not saying that that isn't important. Because it's important, it's essential. We don't have the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, or second coming of Christ without his birth. We don't have the Sermon on the Mount or the Kingdom Parables or the forgiveness of our sins without his birth. It's important. It's essential. But we find absolutely no authority in Scripture for celebrating his birth as a church or celebrating December 25th as a holy day. Where there is no command, there is no example, and there is no necessary inference, there is no authority. This practice comes from the commandments and the traditions of men, which we are not to follow as a source for acceptably serving God. Now, even if it's not according to the teachings of Scripture, we know that many people around us do make Jesus the focus of this holiday season. I find that a little bit refreshing, to be honest with you, because we're living in a day and time that is becoming more and more secular. And we're hearing less and less about the Bible and about Christ from our community. And so during this time of the year, at least for now, people are thinking about Jesus. And some of them are talking about Jesus. You know, you and I as Christians, we need to enter into these holiday seasons prepared to talk with these people about Jesus. If they bring it up, that gives us an opportunity perhaps to talk with them about our faith and to try to share the gospel. So let's make good use of that aspect of this holiday season. Should Christians celebrate Christmas as a religious holiday? No, we don't have authority to do so. However, as individuals, we have the right to observe days and secular traditions and family traditions that do not violate the Word of God. We can exchange gifts, we can decorate our homes, we can spend the day with our family if we choose. And we need to let other Christians make their own choice in this matter, and we need to respect those choices that they make. This subject, this practice, cannot become something that further divides the body of Christ. It simply can't. So let's respect one another's views regarding this practice. Thank you so much for your attention. I know I've had it this morning as we've been talking about this subject, and I appreciate that so very much. If you have any questions about anything we've talked about, would you let us know? We'd be glad to have that opportunity to discuss those things with you. Again, it may be that today you're hearing this for the first time. I'm just asked that you think about the things we've talked about. Think about them, study the Word of God, and see that they are so. If you're here and you're not yet a Christian, not yet a child of God, that's why Jesus came. Not so that we'd have a reason to exchange gifts, but so that we would have hope. We could have hope, realizing that we're lost in our sins. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of your sins, confess your faith, and let us baptize you today for the forgiveness of your sins, and you can become a child of God. That is the greatest gift that you will ever get. And it's offered to you, and it's offered to you today. Whatever your spiritual need is, would you let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this invitation song?